Corinthians chapter 4, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. Let's look at verse number 4. We're going to read down through verse number 9, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to teach through these verses tonight. I feel a bit humbled, Lord, that you've called me into the ministry, that you allow me to preach this book. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just meet with us tonight. Empower the teaching and preaching of your word, please, Lord. And I believe tonight, Lord, that we're going to talk about some things that could be a real help to the folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know it was a help to me. I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to take these things that we learn even tonight and incorporate them immediately into our lives so that we may then, Lord, see the blessing of God upon our lives. And Lord, thank you again for the Bible. Thank you for bringing the church family back together in the middle of the week. And Lord, here on this stormy evening, we found a little place of peace and tranquility. And Lord, just thank you for the church family here, each and every one. Help them to know, Lord, that they're loved, that they're important. And thank you for each person you've brought to our church. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. I don't always ask this, and I'm certainly not going to be upset if you don't or can't or aren't prepared to. I think that later on, even if you don't do it, I'm going to ask, you're going to be able to do it later because of the verses and the way that they unfold. I'd take notes tonight. I really think I'm going to give you something that will help you. There are so many Christians that inwardly are in turmoil. And here we have this portion of Scripture that talks about the peace of God. And I believe this portion of Scripture that we just read, verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I think you're going to agree with me by the end of the night, are absolutely interconnected. And they all teach us how to obtain the peace of God. Brother Jerry, I just like to have a little inner peace. You ever felt like that? I just like to have one day where I had some inner peace, where down in the depths of my soul there was a calmness, where I just wasn't torn up about this or worried about this or fretting about this or bitter about this or mad about this. Or I would just like to have a little peace. Now, let me help you with something. Everything can be going kabonkers on the outside, and you can still on the inside have the peace of God. Absolutely can. Absolutely can. And I'm going to show you how that is accomplished tonight. I'm going to give you some things to do to obtain the peace of God. Well, we just don't know what's going to happen next. You know, when we dismissed school last Friday, there wasn't a one of us that could ascertain that there was a thing wrong with little Janae Sagersey. And now she's taking multiple insulin shots a day just to keep her blood sugar down out of the 400, 500, and sometimes over 600 range. Where did that come from, Brother Jerry? How did that happen? Some of the families in the church, I've been running around trying to pep talk them and encourage them a little bit. We've just been in a whirlwind storm in the last 2 or 3 weeks of just an unusual onslaught of different things that have come. And it's just not one family, two families. I'm talking about multiple families where it just seems like, Brother Jerry, could I just have a day where I didn't get some bad news? Could I just have a day where inside I could just kind of lean back in the grace of God and just everything smooth water? I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I think God's timing always is perfect. And he's brought us to this portion at this time on this night. And some of you are sitting out there saying, okay, enough, get to it, I need this. And others are saying, you know, things are going pretty well. Go ahead and jot the stuff down. Go ahead and jot it down. Okay? Because life is full of problems. And I want to give you just a very practical formula tonight to be able to access the peace of God. Now, let me say an introduction. If you've got a pen, could I have you underline two phrases? Look in verse number 7. There's this phrase, the peace of God. So go ahead and underline those four words, the peace of God. And then, if you look in verse number 9, isn't this neat? Verse number 9, this phrase, the God of peace. Now, are you already getting this first little thought? And this is introduction. It's not really part of the list of five things I'm going to give you. But the peace of God, where do I get the peace of God? Get this, where do I get the peace of God? How can I obtain the peace of God? Folks, the only place to get the peace of God is from the God of peace. The only place to get the peace of God is from the God of peace. And what I found in my life is the closer I am to the God of peace, the more I have the peace of God. The farther away I get from the God of peace, it just seems like I don't have very much peace in my life. I don't have very much peace of God in my life. It just seems like run to God. If I gave you this and sent you home, it'd be worth coming. When things are going crazy, it's not the time to check out on God. It's the time to hasten. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Did you just sing that? Did you think about it? I will. Did you think about those words? And that seemed like a strange thing. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Well, Brother Jerry, I was enjoying the music, and that's a fun song. Well, great, but did you get what it said? I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. There's times you need to sprint to God. You need to race to God. You need to run to God. And a lot of times what happens in times of turmoil, we tend to drift from God, or even sometimes because of some of the things that turmoil caused in our life, to lose confidence in God. But you will never have the peace of God without the God of peace. And the closer you are to the God of peace, the more of the peace of God you're going to have in your life. Now, I'm going to give you five positive things, and I'm going to tell you why they work. But they are outlined beautifully in this scripture. Let's first of all look at this. Brother Jerry, how do you obtain the peace of God? Number one, let me give you some practical things here. Number one, rejoice in the Lord. Now write that down, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. How do you obtain the peace of God? You rejoice in the Lord. I don't feel like rejoicing. The Bible doesn't say rejoice in the Lord if you feel like rejoicing. It says rejoice in the Lord. Well, I will later. No, sorry. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Well, when things go good, I do rejoice. I say, praise the Lord when something good happens. Well, God says you're supposed to say, praise the Lord when something bad happens. Rejoice in the Lord always. Notice this, the key to learning is repetition. And when God repeats, it's for emphasis. And again, I say, so he's saying, listen, I'm not just telling you this once. I'm telling you twice because it's important, it's vital, and it works. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, why? Let me give you this. Because rejoicing battles bitterness. Now, let me tell you what the joy... I'm going to name the five joy robbers tonight. If you don't have joy
you don't, I'm sorry, the peace robbers. If you don't have the peace of God, you don't have much peace in your heart. Listen, it doesn't mean you're a bad person, but something's come into your life that's robbing you of the peace. And number one, and boys, folks, we got to look this thing square ball in the eye tonight. Bitterness robs us of peace. Now, what God is saying is, here's what we try to do. We say, God, listen, there's something that happened, or somebody did something to me, or this circumstances was allowed, and it's not fair, and we get full of bitterness. And when we get bitterness into our lives, then guess what? We don't have the peace of God. So God says, I want you to rejoice over that. Now, wait a minute, God. You know that's not fair. What you're asking is impossible. I mean, this is horrific. This is horrible. I said rejoice. Rejoice. You know, folks, no matter how bad things are, there are still reasons to rejoice. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Well, here's what happens in our life. Some event or some circumstance comes in our lives, and it comes and it captures our attention, and it's bad and it's negative, and we fixate on this, and we're frustrated over this, and we get bitter over this. And all around us are the blessings of God, but you know what? We've become blinded to them because we're just fixated on this one bad, unfair thing. And we sit there and we chew on it 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 until bitterness springs up in our soul. And God says, listen to me, listen to me. I had a preacher come in several years ago and preach one of the best messages in chapel that I've ever heard preach. And he told our young people this. He said, he preached a message entitled, Get Over It, Life Isn't Fair. Get over it. Where did you find in the Bible that you thought life was going to be fair? Where in the Bible did you get some guarantee as a Christian that you were going to skate through this whole thing and there wasn't going to be one bump of the road or one bad thing or one trial or one persecution or one heartache or one sickness ever? Where in the world do you get that guarantee? Now you will, as a Christian, get this guarantee that whatever God asks you to go through, He'll go through it with you. But we're not guaranteed a bed of roses. And folks, you got to learn to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Here's that repetition. And again, I say rejoice. Now that means rejoice when you don't feel like it. That means rejoice when you don't want to rejoice. That means begin to praise the Lord and be out loud thankful to God and rejoice in the Lord about things. Listen, not everything in your life is bad. You hear what I said? Not everything in your life is bad. I said not everything in your life is bad. Not everything in your life is bad. Baloney. Good night, you live in America. Get on a plane. Go visit about three or four third world countries. You know what you'll do? You'll come back home and you'll walk around for 2 weeks clapping your hands and shouting praises to God that you just were allowed to be born here. I mean, come on now. Are you a child of God? God said, Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what? There's a heaven. God's building me a mansion. Are you getting this? Now, don't fixate on that one thing. Listen, don't let bitterness, that root of bitterness, creep into your heart. Because, folks, if you get bitter about something, say, Brother Jerry, I can't help it. You can help it. By the grace of God, you can help it. And what you need to do is begin to exercise this matter of rejoicing in the Lord. Now, what that means is that you stay positive. What that means is that you look around and you say, all right, there's some things in my life that's less than perfect. But let me tell you something. I want to thank God and I want to rejoice in the Lord that I have this. And I want to rejoice in the Lord that I have this. I want to rejoice in the Lord that God's done this for me. And I want to rejoice in the Lord that God's provided this. And you know, you get busy rejoicing and you know what? You're going to find that is a healing balm to help you through bitterness and help you cure the bitterness in your heart. So write that down first of all, because I think there's these five things that'll help you to obtain the peace of God. Number two, this. Write this down. Be gentle with men. Be gentle with men. I just don't seem to have much peace of God. I just don't have a peace of God in my heart. Number one, rejoice in the Lord. Number two, be gentle with men. You say, where do you get that? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, there's a lot of words that's synonymous with that word moderation, but let me tell you something. I think one of the best ones is gentleness. Now, what does that mean? It means this: do not be harsh, unkind, or impatient with people. Do not be harsh, unkind, or impatient with people. You say, why? They irritate me. Well, join the club. I think only me and about 500 people in America should be allowed to have a driver's license. I mean, most of the time, people don't bother me that much, but when they get in vehicles, they drive me nuts sometimes. How come there's that one guy that I never get behind until I'm in a hurry that wants to drive about 40 miles an hour somewhere, unless I'm late, unless I have to get somewhere? I think God has a sense of humor. He knows I have a driving problem. And he knows I have an impatience problem. And so he allowed us to purchase a place that has 1, 2, 3 single lane bridges between me and the church. In 5 miles, there's 3 single lane. You say, what does that matter? Because when I begin to approach these things, I look and there's another car coming. And what I want to do is start gauging the distance and say, you know what? If I floor this thing, I think I can beat that guy through that. You know, I mean, it's a disease. I've got little markers on the road, and I have got it figured out that if they're not quite there and I hurry, I can get there before them, especially if I flash my lights and put on my horn and just drive dead in the middle of the road. Most of the time, they don't try to. No. But that's what I want to do. And so I think God knows that I've got this problem. So he saw to it that every time I drive to the church or back home, which is several times during the week, I meet people on these. And you know what? Be gentle with men. What does that mean? Be gracious. Well, if I hurry, I got an idea. Slow down, kind of pull over, flash your lights, and give them the signal to go on through. Now, I've been doing this. I'll tell you, it's against my nature, but I've been doing this. And for one thing, they're just shocked. And they drive through, then they look over, and they just smile and wave like I'm just the greatest guy in all the world. And or either that, they're shocked because last time I ran them off the road or something. I don't know. Sometimes, I think if you've got the right of way, take it. If you're going to get there first, go. What irritates me is when someone's obviously there, and I'm still way back here, and then they kind of stop and hesitate, and I'm like, would you just go through, because then I won't have to stop. So then I, flash my lights, you're already there, come on through, well, God bless you, that kind of... Like I said, I have a problem here. But have you ever had somebody where you really should have been there first and you just see somebody and they floor? I mean, besides me, have you ever seen somebody just floor? And I mean, you should have been able to go through first and they insisted on going through. Listen to me. They insisted on going through and you just had to kind of pull over. Watch the look on their face when they make it through. You know what they look like when they come through? But they got their way, didn't they? They got their way. Now, let me tell you what robs you of peace. Guilt. Bitterness robs you of peace, so God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Guilt robs you of peace. You know, you can't treat somebody unkind, be uncourteous, be harsh, be impatient, be impolite, and then walk away from that situation singing the great hymns of the faith and having your heart filled with the peace and love of Jesus Christ. I mean, it just doesn't fit hand in hand. And I will tell you, well, John, I don't know why I don't have peace. Well, let me just ask you an honest question. And I'm not judging. I don't know your situation. I just can tell you from personal experience, when I'm kind and gracious to somebody, it seems like the peace of God floods my heart. When I'm impatient and mean and harsh with somebody, I walk around the rest of the day feeling horrible about it. And I think sometimes, well, what we do is because we don't let our moderation or our gentleness be known unto all men, that we don't have much peace. Folks, just learn to be nice. You don't have to be first. Somebody else can go first. Somebody else can, I mean, hey, are you listening to me? Now this is interesting because it says this, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now why is that little statement after that? Watch this. I was principal around here for a lot of years. I've seen children, bless their hearts. I love kids. I love kids. I love the kids at Blessed Hope. We got 67 students here this year, and they are blessing to my heart every single day. But they're kids. I've walked into situations where I've come up behind a group of students and they haven't known I'm there. I'm talking about little ones. And maybe there will be a boy that's deciding he wants to cut in line with another boy, so he'll step around and kind of take his, I won't push him back and say, let me hand in. You know, or somebody's waiting in the line to get a drink and somebody else will, you know, maybe a little girl will say something harsh or unkind to another girl. And then all of a sudden they look around and I'm there and they realize I've been standing there and I've heard this. And the greatest look of shame comes across their face and they look at the person and look at me and look at the person and look. And you know what? At that moment they have no peace of God. Are you listening to me? Why don't we treat everybody as if the Lord was right at our right hand, right beside us? You know why? Because He is. Because He is. Isn't that good? All right, let me hurry on. What robs us of peace? Bitterness. How do you fix that? Rejoice in the Lord. What robs you of peace? Guilt. How do you cure that? Be gentle with men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, let me give you the third one. Boy, doesn't this work, church? Look at number six. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I'm going to put these five things in a package, put a bowl at the end and wrap them up and send them home with you. And if you begin to do these five things, I guarantee you, you'd be surprised how much of your life you'll understand and experience the peace of Almighty God in your life. Pray about everything. Why? Because if you don't pray, then you're going to worry. And worry robs you of peace. What robs you of peace? Bitterness. How do you cure that? Rejoice in the Lord. What robs you of peace? Guilt. How do you cure that? Be gentle with all men. So you don't have anything to feel guilty about at the end of the day. I treated people like I wanted to be treated. I was decent and kind to people today. I can lay my head on my pillow and not think, boy, I feel horrible about what I said or what I did. Are you there? Pray about everything. Why? Because worry robs you of peace. You've heard this probably before, but there's a pessimist and an optimist talking. And the optimist said, you need to stop worrying about everything. Don't you understand that 99% of the things that you worry about never happen? And the pessimist said, see, worry works. Isn't that good? Now, the Bible says this, be careful for nothing but in everything, pray about everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, folks, I've got a lot of things on my plate, and like most of you, I'm very busy and I've got a lot of things going. I cannot afford to be distracted with constantly worrying about this or worrying about that. Now, are you afflicted at times with worry? Yes. And when I'm worrying, I don't have the peace of God. And so what I've got to learn to do in my life, say, wait a minute, wait. Why have I just spent the last 15 minutes of my life driving myself crazy over this? And most of the things we worry about, there's not a thing in the world we can do about it. So why don't I just stop and say, Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me. Lord, I don't have peace. I haven't experienced the peace of God in the last 15 minutes. God, there's a situation. You know it's on my heart, and you know I'm concerned about it, and you tell me to pray about it, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let my request be made known. God, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to cast my care upon you because I know you care for me. God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know if there's anything I ought to do. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing I can do, but God, I can give it to you. Please, Lord, take care of this situation. Lord, work in this situation. I'm going to put this in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You get in the habit of doing that on a regular basis, and you're going to know what the peace of God is. Because worry steals or robs you of the peace of God, but praying will defeat worry every single time. So pray about everything. Let me give you number four. I feel like I'm with five things. I've got to go quickly. I wish I could expound on these, but I want to put them all in a package at the end. Number four, discipline your thoughts. Discipline your thoughts. Of course, verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 tells us to discipline our thoughts. Now, why is that? Why do we do that? Watch this. Because negativity robs you of peace. Negativity robs you of peace. I mean, do you ever get on that slippery slope of negativity? And next thing you know, this is bad and that's bad and this is wrong and that's wrong and this isn't right and that isn't right and this isn't going to work out and that's not going to work out. And pretty soon, you're just a mess. You're just a mess on the inside. Now, again, the Bible talks about this matter of disciplining our thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's a Bible command. And what happens is we get to thinking negative thoughts. What are we thinking about? Well, we're thinking about things that are untrue, dishonest, unjust, impure, not lovely, not of good report, and we just start dwelling on negativity. You see, and that negativity robs you of peace. Discipline your thinking. I told you this story a while back, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's absolutely vitally important. There was a man, and he was sitting by his grandson on a bench in front of an old-fashioned gas station in the little town that he lived. This town had opened several businesses and factories in recent years, and a lot of new people were moving into this town. One of the men that was moving in a moving van pulled up, started filling his moving van of gas. He walked over to the old man. He said, hey, old man, I heard that I'm moving to this town. I got relocated here. And he said, I've heard that this town doesn't have very good schools. And I've heard that really it's not a very great town. It seems like the people aren't very kind. And it's just kind of a bad area. And a lot of bad things happen. And I mean, I've just heard it's not a very good place to live. Is that what I'll find here? And the grandpa sat with the grandson, said, that's exactly what you're going to find. He said, I thought so. And he went and finished and paid and drove off. And a second later, another moving truck come in and another guy moving into town. He put the gas tank in there, gas nozzle in there and started filling up. He said, hey there, how you doing? Hey, I'm relocating into town. What's your name? And he introduced himself. He said, well, we've been doing some research on the internet and learning about your town, and I hear you got great parks, and I hear you got great schools, and seems like the people are friendly, and there's a lot of exciting good things happening here. Is that what I'll find here? And he said, that's exactly what you'll find. He said, all right, thank you, nice to meet you. And he went over, and he took the gas tank and pulled out of here, and the little grandson's listening to this, and he looks up, and he says, Grandpa, you lied. I said, what do you mean I lied? I sat here and listened to you. You lied at least one time. You lied. He said, son, I didn't lie. Yes, you did. You told that one guy this was a rotten place, and you told the other one this was. And he said, no, I didn't, son. The first guy said, I hear and I believe, and is this what I'm going to find? And you know what? If that's what he's looking for and that's what he is determined to find, he'll find it here. And that other guy came here looking for the good in this town. And you know what he's going to find? He's going to find it here. Folks, listen to me. I want God to open something in your heart tonight and get something. "Oh, Brother Jerry, this is bad and that's bad and this stinks and that's rotten and this bad." You know, one guy said, if the whole world stinks, could it be that you've got some Lindbergh cheese in your mustache? I mean, maybe you ought to just go look in the mirror and check. After a while, if everything stinks, maybe it's not everything. Maybe it's just that we've got the point where we just are not happy unless we're unhappy. We're not going to stop looking until we find something negative. That's what we think about. That's what we talk about. That's what we dwell on. Well, guess what? If you seek it, the Bible says you're going to find it. And but here's the thing. People like that do not have the peace of God. You don't have the peace of God. "Oh, Brother Jerry, I'm so tired of your Pollyannish outlook on life. And boy, every time, this is great and that's great and this is wonderful and that's wonderful. And isn't this good? And didn't we have a good Sunday? I mean, good night. If you could just look at the world through my eyes, I know, and I'd be miserable. I don't want to look through those eyes." I'm not talking about ignoring problems. I'm not talking about the fact that there aren't some real things that have to be dealt with. But good night. I am not going to live my life being a negative person. There's so many things to rejoice about, so many things to be glad about, so many things to praise the Lord about. I mean, folks, a bunch of young people went out there and raced out there in time to beat a storm so they could go out and share the gospel, and God honored that and allowed people to be saved today. Now, I don't know what your days rotated around, but man, that's pretty good. That's wonderful. I used to tell something to the kids when I'd take them to camp. And, you go to a week of camp. Folks, listen to me. You take 40 kids to a week of camp, and I guarantee you not everything's going to go right. It got to be fun. I mean, some things just happen every year. And one of the things that happens every year is about the second day or third day, somebody will come up to me and say, "Brother Jerry, I got to talk to you, but somebody stole my wallet." That happens every year. And I immediately say, "Don't say, they did. They stole my wallet. I put it right there, and I'm going to tell you what, when I came back, it was gone. It was right there. I always put it right there. It's right there." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. You don't know if somebody stole your wallet. Maybe you misplaced it. I didn't misplace it. I put it right there." So I'll say, "Okay, let's look." And we'll go looking through their stuff. "I told you the whole time. I told you. And then I'll reach somewhere under something, and I'll pull it out and say, "Is this yours?" "Yeah." "Oh, yeah, I guess I forgot. I did put that there." "No, somebody stole this, or somebody." Yeah. But I guarantee you, if you go to a week of camp, you bring 400 teenagers to one camp, and you stand there with a whole week, and you got 40 of them's yours, and they're intermingling and interacting, and they're playing all these games, and they go to all these interactions, there's going to be some things negative happen during the week. Now, I used to get on the bus on the way home. And by the way, can I say this? For every one negative thing that happens at camp, there's probably 50 wonderful, incredible, life-changing, God-blessed moments. So what happens? This kid has had what I believe is a spectacular week. I've sat around and watched the hand of God, the power of God fall. I've watched kids make decisions and kids get saved and God break through in lives. And I'm driving home and I said, "Kids, could I ask you to do me one favor? When you get all your stuff, when we get home and we sort everything out, you throw it in the van and you shut the door and you pull out of the driveway and your mom or your dad says, 'How'd your week go?' Would you please do me one favor? Would you tell them at least 5 positive things that happened before you tell them the one thing that you didn't like that happened, or the one kid that was unkind to you, or somebody stole your towel, or you know what, the food wasn't that?" I mean, good night. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to do this. Parents, I want you to do this. I want you to listen to your children when they are picked up from school. I want you to listen to your children when they're picked up from a youth activity. I want you to listen to your children when you ask them, "How'd it go today?" And if the first thing they start in with is negativity, let me share something with you. It's not because we have a bad school or bad youth group or this is a bad place. It's because they're a negative person. Because I guarantee you, for every single negative thing, you say, "This isn't a perfect place." I know. and we're going to have some negative things happen. But I guarantee you, for every negative thing that happens around here, there's 50 positive, wonderful things that happen around here. How come they never share those with you? And I think as parents, we've got to change that. Hey, how'd it go today? Oh, you can't believe what so-and-so... Wait. I mean, you were there a whole day, and I ask you how things went, and the first thing out of your mouth wants to be something negative? Now, I want you to stop and think a minute, and I'm going to ask you again. Only this time, I want to hear about some good things that happened. And by the way, if there's something they need to share with you that's negative, that's fine. But if that's all they ever talk about, folks, listen to me. Listen, they moved into town looking for it. And that's what they're going to find every day of their life. And if we don't change it in their upbringing, guess what? They're going to be a young adult that does that. They're going to be a church member that does that. They're going to be involved in some ministry, and that's all they're ever going to see. Hey, how'd Master's Club go? Oh, you can't believe those stinking kids, how rotten they were today. I had this happen, and this kid did this, and that kid did this, and that kid did this, and you can't... Oh, I'm telling you what, I don't even know why we had this ministry, why we ever volunteered for it. Listen to me, I don't believe it. I believe a lot of wonderful things happen during the night. I just think that you're just fixated on the negative. And I think what needs to happen is we need to say, what's this verse say? Finally, brethren, that's us, saved people. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be praise. Think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go around and I'm going to think about all the good, positive, wonderful things that happen every single day and every single week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if there's problems, we'll deal with them. If there's negative things, we'll try to make it better. But I'm not going to fixate on the handful of problems. I'm going to get on top of the mountain and take my shoes off and wave them in the air and thank God for the blessings that fall upon this place week in and week out. And I think that, folks, honestly, when you do that, there's something that comes upon your life called the peace of God. You see, now let me give you the last one, then we're going to tie it all up, okay? Verse number 9. Now this is key. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, you ought to circle that next word, D-O. I am telling you right now, this is one of the greatest keys to achieving the peace of God in your life. Those things which you have both learned. What did you learn today? Oh, I learned a lot. Did you receive it? Yep. Did you listen to it and hear it? Yep. Did you see it displayed and modeled and mentored before you? Yes. Are you doing it? Nope. And that's why you don't have the peace of God. Let me read something to you, because this is one of the great keys to the Christian life, and I think of having peace. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. How? In his deed, or in the doing of it. Now, let me give you this. I think one of the reasons that at some stage in our Christian life, we begin to lose the peace of God as we become hearers, but we stop being doers. We hear, we'll even receive it, we'll learn it, and we'll observe it, but we won't do it. Now, let me give you a perfect case in point. I've given you 5 things that if you'll begin to do when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning, and you'll do them consistently, by the end of the week, you will have the peace of God in your life like you've never had it before. I ask you to take notes. You say, I heard you, Brother Jerry. Good. I learned these things, Brother Jerry. Yes, I even observe them in other people. Good. I'm receiving these things, Brother Jerry. Great. And they're not going to do you one whit's worth of good if you won't do them yourself. And I think that that's where we lose the peace of God. You know why? Because the peace of God comes not in the hearing, but in the doing. The peace of God doesn't come... Listen, let me give you this statement. I love this. God is not... I've said this so many times. God is not impressed with how much Bible you know. He's impressed with how much Bible you live. Number 5, live what you learn. Live what you learn. Now, I've put this thing under the microscope, and I haven't talked to my parents in depth about this, but I've listened to my dad preach my whole life. And I look at, you know, I'm praying right now, God, give us some new converts in this church that'll be like Bob and Donna Ross when they were new converts. I mean it. Now, let me tell you what the great secret of their, I think, explosive growth, and God, in a short amount of time, allowing them opportunities and opening doors and calling them into the ministry. Let me tell you what I believe, this is really deep. The one super secret of their life as a new convert that I think just accelerated them towards God and accelerated them in Christian growth and put them in a position where God could put this hand upon them and use them in an unusual way. Here it is. When they learned something, they did it. When they learned something. Now here's somebody that, you know, come up with a little bit of religious training, religious background, but really not much Bible knowledge. And so when they understood the gospel and understood that they were lost and understood they needed to be saved, you know what they did? They did it. Now watch this. And then they understood they needed to be baptized. And you know what they did? They learned that. They heard it. They received it. They learned it. They watched other people do it. And they said, hey, we're going to do that. And then, as one new convert called it, they heard the preacher talk about the tithy. Or they read in the Bible something about a tithy. And they asked the preacher, what's a tithy? No, that's not a tithy. That's a tithe. Well, what is that? Well, let me teach you what that is. Okay, I'll learn it. I'll receive it. I'll observe it. I'll get it. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go do it. What's this visitation? What's this soul winning? Well, tell me about it. Wow. You know what? Let's do that. Now, folks, listen to me. I think one of the things that robs us of inner peace is to have a bunch of knowledge and our life filled with disobedience towards that knowledge. Absolutely. Now, you can't tell me that you haven't sat in a church like this for the number of years that some of you have sat here, and you don't know that it's a Bible command for every person to be a witness for Jesus Christ, that we're supposed to go soul winning. I'm not going. Well, let me ask you something. How much peace of God do you have? I mean, I don't need to reteach tithing. You know it. If you've been here any time at all, you've been taught it for years and years and years. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, how much peace of God do you have? There is something wonderful that floods the soul of a Christian who just simply learns something, says, wow, that's great. Hey, I'm going to, and steps out and obeys it. And then learn something new and obeys it. And learn something new and obeys it. Hey, you know what? This is wrong. Well, then we're getting rid of it. Well, this is right. Then we're going to start doing it. Well, you're supposed to go here. Then we're going. You're not supposed to go there. We're not going. Amen. Amen. And you can make fun of them, but they're happy. You know, the person, I'm not doing that. I don't say that I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that either. I'm not doing that. How you doing? I mean, this is good. Now, can I put this in a package for you when we're done? Tomorrow morning, I'll tell you what. Bitterness is my enemy, and bitterness will rob me of joy. So you know what I'm going to do? No matter what happens tomorrow, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. You know, there's moments where you're so proud as a preacher of your people. And me and my sweet wife, we had a busy day, and I wanted to get up and see the Sagar Seas. And so I said to her about 3 o'clock, we've got to run up and see Janae and Angie. And I went into the room there, and boy, we cut up and had fun, and oh, we just laughed the whole time we were there. And she got disconnected finally. They let her sit on the couch with her mama, and she's got a little wicked sense of humor. She really does. She's a hilarious little girl. If I was her brothers, I'd be worried. She's learning how to use needles.
She's learning how to use that little finger prick thing. She's already got plans when she gets home of torturing her brothers with some of this stuff. It's incredible. So we were like, and I told her, I said, Sister Angie, we're praying for you. I know, you know what? When one person in a family goes through it, everybody goes through it, especially something like this. She said, Brother Jerry, we need to stay here long enough to get this regulated. And then about that time, the phone rang. It was Brother Jack. Brother Jack realized the situation. Tim and Angie's been running a van route on Wednesday night. He called up and wanted to find out if somebody had covered that van route. And Angie said, yeah, Tim's going to take care of it tonight. He's going to go ahead and drive it tonight. I'm going to stay with Janae, and he's going to drive it tonight. And we felt like we ought to do that. And then she looked at me. I love this. This determined look. She said, Brother Jerry, we're going to get this regulated. And we're going to get it figured out. It may take me a little while, but we're not going to let this stop us. And we're not going to stop anything that we're doing for the Lord. Brother, I just wanted to say, glory to God. And we're talking about three insulin shots a day. We're talking about maybe more than that. We're talking about regulating this. We're not going to let it stop us from serving God. I'm going to say something. I don't want to be unkind. But as a preacher, you get discouraged and tired of people quitting. It doesn't take anything to quit. Stop looking for a reason to back out and decide to find some reasons to go forward. Amen. Well, this came into my life, so I mean, praise God. I've learned it. I've received it. I've observed it. I heard it, and I'm going to do it. Isn't that exciting? Now, you just decide, no matter what's going to come into your life this next week, you're going to rejoice in the Lord. You decide that you're going to treat people gently. You decide you're going to pray about everything. You decide you're going to discipline your thoughts. You know what? When a negative thought comes to your mind, you say, sorry. Can't do that. Philippians 4:8, can't do that. Can't do it. I'd be breaking the scripture. Not going to dwell on that. Sorry. Then you decide that you're going to live everything that you learn. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to listen. And if I learn something to do that I'm not doing, I'm going to do it. If I learn something that I am doing that I'm not supposed to do, I'm going to quit doing it. You do those five things and then you live those things consistently and you tell me, come see me in 3 months and say, Brother Jerry, I rejoice in the Lord all the time. I'm gentle with people around me. I pray about everything. I discipline my thoughts. And in the last 6 months, everything I've learned, I live. And you know what? I don't have any peace. And I'll say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Yes, you do and you know it. Are you getting this? Oh, I don't know why. Where's God? Why doesn't God give me peace? Why? God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says this, hey, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. And when you learn something, do it. And then he says this, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you notice that? Why are we ending there? Because if I do these things, the God of peace will be with me. And what did I say at the beginning? If you want the peace of God, folks, you got to get close to the God of peace. You want the peace of God, you get close to the God of peace. I want the God of peace to be with me.